Greetings, Hacker Public Radio. I wanted to do another podcast, this one not about programming. I'm going to kind of ramble a bit. Apologize for the noise in the background. I've got some fans going because it's pretty hot in here. This particular podcast will be about a week of freedom. I'm trying to use nothing but free software for an entire week. Unfortunately, I am using non-free software to record this. But I'll talk a little bit about some of the hitches I've had with non-free software. So I want to talk a little bit about where I started. In the early to mid-90s, I cut my teeth on Minix on an old Tandy machine that didn't even have a hard drive. Shortly thereafter, I got a nice 486 and wound up wondering how I would install Minix on it, as the previous machine was a hand-me-down. I didn't have any source installation material. So after talking to some friends, I stumbled across the Walnut Creek CD distribution company and ordered a pile of Linux and Unix derivatives, as I knew that Linux had come from Minix to some degree. I plowed my way through Red Hat, Mandrake as well. And even when I traveled abroad, I carried it with me. Shortly thereafter, I found one of the old FreeBSD disks in the set. There's been many computers during that time, but I stuck with FreeBSD for quite a long time. Wound up going through college, picking up a job. At the job, they were heavily using Red Hat, and I implemented several FreeBSD servers there. Same job I talked about in my previous podcast, where I spent about 8 years in IT. Then they began to roll out Novell Network Services and started using OpenSUSE quite heavily, contributing to OpenSUSE, spending time at their conferences, spoke a little bit, and tried to help with bug fixes and documentation, all because we were using the enterprise version of SUSE at work. We ran into some hiccups and started moving away from Novell software at that job, and we wound up switching over to Ubuntu. Shortly after we switched to Ubuntu, and I had several servers set up for them, running most of their services, including a Eucalyptus cloud, or cluster rather, I wound up moving into the exciting field of software development instead of IT, general IT work. At that point, my computing needs changed quite a bit. The computer was mostly a general purpose tool for me, and I didn't get into the more geeky stuff, as I spent all of my brain power trying to build software, and finally understood the gap between development and IT. The job that I left for handed a MacBook Pro to me, and after over a decade of using nothing but Linux and Unix derivatives, it was a little strange. I had owned a PowerBook at one point in my life, but wound up installing a Linux on it. And I found that it generally let me get the job they had defined done relatively effortlessly. Was not real pleased with the Crystal Prison that Apple provided, but I rolled with it and gradually started purchasing nothing but Apple devices at home. I own a Mac Mini. My wife has been steeped in Linux since we've met, but she agreed to the purchase. I own an iPad because for the longest time I used the iPad to remote into a couple of servers and work with nothing but the tablet. I own an iPhone. When my Samsung Droid Charge decided to give up the ghost, iPhones at the time happened to be cheaper than the Android options, and I went with that. So that's kind of my current situation. At work I use a MacBook Pro, and at home I use a Mac Mini. Most of my life is spent on, most of my computing life is spent on the SDF public access Unix system, so the Mac is really just a proxy for me. Just sort of a thin client that lets me get to where I do my real work. I've become increasingly frustrated with the Crystal Prison I spoke of, and also the closed nature of the hardware. I also don't like the interface, and the fact that I can't change the interface is another annoyance. So I'd been looking at other options for a while and would just rather not buy another machine. I've invested a lot of money in these, and we'll find options in the future when they give up their ghosts. So I've just kind of existed on SDF in general. I recently moved all of my mail and some more of my network services like XMPP and VoIP over to SDF because I guess last year I decided that I would drop Facebook. It just got to be the privacy concerns were too overwhelming and it became a time sink. So I went ahead and deleted my Facebook account. And that led to me wondering if I could live a week without Google. I often like to give things a try for a week to see if I will like them. In this case, I'm trying free software for a week. And when I decided to leave Google for a week, I moved my life out of Chrome. I moved all of my network services away from Google with the exception of my domain, and the only reason that still exists is due to my wife having an email account on it. And I moved everything, I switched from Chrome to Firefox, moved all of my network services to SDF. I enjoyed Firefox and I enjoyed SDF, and when the week was up, it would have been too much hassle to migrate back. And I think in the long run, I'm a little bit better off for not giving Google even more information. So that road sort of led to me bumping into more Free Software Foundation and GNU websites and started to wonder if I could live for 1 week using only free software. And the purpose of this podcast is to talk about that week. I am halfway through the week, so I've cheated a little bit and I'm considering extending it. So here is a basic rundown of everything I use in my day-to-day life. I no longer do anything really geeky. In the past, I used to love to tweak Linux. I used to love to obsess over my hardware. I don't do any of that anymore. These days, if I'm not working, and work consists of existing in a terminal, cranking out Rails code and Ruby code for an e-commerce company, I'm generally browsing the web or browsing message boards at SDF, reading books, digital books. That's about the extent of it. A couple of news feeds. Rarely listen to music. I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of online radio. So, as I mentioned before, I moved from Chrome to Firefox. I spend most of my time in Firefox. It's very minimal. I don't really use any extensions. I use the Pinboard extension. Keep my bookmarks there. And when I'm not using Firefox, I use iTerm 2. Usually in there I'm running either tmux or dbtm with dtach so that I can get some sort of tiling interface out of my machine because Aqua provides a pretty horrible user interface with a lot of wasted real estate in my mind. Beyond that, sometimes I listen to iTunes or Spotify for podcasts or occasional music. I use YNAB, you need a budget to track my finances. Vim is my editor of choice. I also own an Xbox, a Roku, an iPhone, and an iPad. Those I will be attempting to give up as well. I have a couple of minor local games. I think some of them might be under the GPL. Some of them might be OS X specific. I don't really remember. When I'm in iTerm, I generally am SSH'd into SDF. I keep all my notes there. I use Terminal Velocity, which is a console-based notational velocity and invault clone. Tmux or dtach as well. I use Mutt to read all of my email. I use, and I'm going to butcher the name, NewsButer, I think is what it's called, to check all my feeds. I use IRSSI for IRC. Don't kick around on any public servers, just hang out with some private folks. I use SDF's comm mode, which is a chat system, and I use their bulletin board. And I use e-links to browse the web. I find that I use e-links a little bit more than Firefox because I don't have to worry about JavaScript and pictures and things of that nature. I can just get the content I'm after. So that's kind of my software life in a nutshell. So before I decided to take this week, I wanted to evaluate a few distributions. What I came across, I like really minimalistic installs, so the first thing I tried was Dragora. And the issue I had with Dragora was I never could quite get screen resolutions worked out. You know, I like minimalism, but I also don't want to roll up my sleeves and get too far into configuring things. So that proved to be too much of a nuisance. I'm running these under VMware at home and VirtualBox for a point of reference. Once I tried Dragora, I jumped the other end to GNUSense. And GNUSense is a nice, pretty install, and generally worked, but aesthetically I wasn't really into it, and I feel like it came with a lot more software than I wanted. And these are all really small nitpicking things that I didn't like. I could probably work with GNUSense or Dragora. I was just looking for something a little more comfortable. So next I tried Parabola, which is the Libre version of Arch Linux, and I really enjoyed it. The short period of time that I used it, it felt a little bit like FreeBSD. I liked the package system. I just felt that I would spend too much time tinkering during the week and not emulating my day-to-day personal interactions on a computer. So then, after I tried that, I gave Triskel a go, and I'm probably mispronouncing that one as well. It's Triskel Linux. It's an Ubuntu derivative, and it happened to fit my needs quite well. It's relatively aesthetically pleasing, comes out of the box with almost everything I need, but doesn't give me stuff I don't need, and it's generally easy to navigate. The reason I'm recording this podcast is because I'm currently reinstalling it. I didn't give it enough disk space, so once I increase its disk space, I think I'm going to be very happy with it. So I'm running this in VMware, and I run it full screen and avoid the utilities on my Mac. Like I said, I'm not ready to buy another computer just yet. Kind of want to see how this goes. So in the last 3 days, I have used some non-free software. Clearly my phone, my iPhone, but I'm restricting myself to text messages and phone calls. It would have been too much hassle to try to make my phone an open source and free device to use. I do not use my iPad. I've kept that aside. I have used my Xbox and my Roku so that my son could watch some shows and play a couple of games, but I am not directly interacting with it. I still visited the bulletin board on Calm. Technically, it's non-free software because it is closed source. Nobody sees how it works. But I wanted to stay connected, and I caved a little bit. I did use Preview in OS X to sign a document for my business. I couldn't figure out how to pull that off in the document viewer in Triskel, which I believe looks suspiciously like Events, which I had used in the past on OpenSUSE. I also use the VMware guest tools so that the resolution appropriately resizes. I don't know if I consider that cheating, because I like to think of the virtual environment as emulating hardware, and it's near impossible to find totally free hardware. Interestingly enough, the reason I'm using the VMware guest tools is because Triskel's resolution detection was not quite spot on. GNUSense, however, picked up the virtual resolutions almost immediately, so I'm not sure what the difference is there. And obviously at work, I'm using a MacBook Pro to do all of my Ruby development and Rails work there. So I figured if I was going to do this, I may even look at some replacements and options for the actual free software I use. So I have been using A Browser, which is the debranded Firefox that comes with Triskel, and it's worked fantastically. Started using Thunderbird just to kind of try a graphical email client. I've lived so long with Mutt that anything else sort of jars me. But Thunderbird has been relatively easy to use. I've been using LifeRay. I stumbled on it on accident because it was in the messaging menu that provided with Triskel. I use that to read my RSS feeds now. I simply exported all of my Newsbeater feeds as OPML, and they came right into Liferay. I was very happy. I'm using Gwibber for Identica, however much longer that'll exist, and for STF's StatusNet instance, which is not federated, unfortunately. Gwibber, it's fun to see that application because I recall the Novell Hack Week when it was created, and I recall when Tomboy was created in the Novell Hack Week as well, and I had some minor part in helping with bug smashing for those, so that was quite fun too. Very minor part, if I better underline that, but it was very fun to see those again. I'm not using Tomboy as I keep all of my notes in text files now, but it was kind of nice to see those after not being around them for three or four years. I've installed SSHFS so that I can not entirely use SDF, but mount my important directories locally so I can get to my notes and things of that nature. And I fired up gedit. Now, normally I'm a Vim user, but I don't like things like Sublime Text or TextMate. And without getting too far into editor wars, I really forgot how great of a basic editor gedit is. I've really enjoyed using it. I do miss my Vim keys, but it's another one of those situations where it provides everything you want and nothing you don't need. And the plugins are astounding. Wonderful editor, works well in this situation. So my thoughts so far, I would really like to go back to using something other than OS X. And I may strive for, I guess, moral and emotional reasons to keep that as free software. So it would be kind of neat to get a hold of a cheap notebook or netbook. A netbook would be optimal, just a small machine that Driscoll is supported on. If anybody knows where I can get an inexpensive netbook to put Driscoll on, I would be very happy to know of that. And I've been really watching Firefox OS very closely. I think my next phone may end up being a Firefox OS phone. I don't need a lot. On my phone, I need to send and receive messages, maybe connect to VoIP, maybe connect to SSH, definitely make phone calls. So I guess SSH and VoIP is asking a lot of a phone, but those are superfluous. I can do without them. The occasional email would be nice, and Firefox OS is pretty close to aligning with the free culture standards, even if it's not spot on. I think it's better than handing my life over to Google with an Android phone or living in Apple's crystal prison. So I'm going to trudge through the rest of the week and see where it goes. It's really pleasant. I'm going to try not to cheat anymore. The best way I think to cheat would be to avoid cheating would be to get a machine and just live with it rather than using a virtual machine. I'm excited to see what comes of it. So I think that's it for this. I'm sorry if it was a little noisy. I did have to kick the fans on and off, and I had no real script for this. I was just sort of rambling while the installer goes. I hope you enjoyed it. I still want to make some more podcasts as I have time. My schedule's a little rough. If you'd like to talk, I've been using Pump.io for most of my microblogging needs. You can catch me there at nilmethod at microcast, so N-I-L-M-E-T-H-O-D at M-I-C-R-O-C-A.S-T, or you can simply email me, cmhobbs at acm.org. That's cmhobbs at acm.org. Thanks again, listeners. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate Hacker Public Radio for giving me yet another opportunity to post a podcast. Goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.